Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Those of you who are fairly new in this Hare Krishna movement, of which maybe half or more present here are in that category, you may more than others have the experience of persons who knew you before you entered this movement asking you, "What are you doing? What's the point? What are you aiming at? What's it all about? What is all about? What's the aim?" There could be many answers given to that. One answer we find in the words of Rupa Goswami, quoted at the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, "Anarpita chiring chirat karunyavatirno kalo samapiyatum unatojvalarasang svabhakti-shriyam. Hari purita sundara duti kadamba sandipita sada hridaya kandare spuritu vasachinandanaha." I don't expect those who are new to know, but anyone else have an idea what this verse is all about? There's hardly anyone who's not that new. About Lord Chaitanya's descent and why he came. It's actually a blessing to the readers by Rupa Goswami at the beginning of his Lalit Madhav drama, which he wrote, which is also adopted as taken by Krishnadas Kaviraj, and he uses the same blessing. He describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as having appeared as the son of Shachimata, and that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give that which had never been offered before, or not offered in an immensely long time. He came to give it in Kali Yuga. He came to give the topmost resplendent mellows of devotional service unto himself. He is the Supreme Lord who has appeared himself a beautiful golden luster. And Rupa Goswami prays, "May that darling child of Shachimata always be manifest within the core of your heart." And Srila Prabhupada's translation is more concise and more beautiful, more beautifully formed, but that's the essence of it. I was just thinking about some higher topics and had reason to discuss that, or at least slightly, yesterday when I saw a devotee. He's looking at his phone for quite some time, and I deduced that he was reading. I asked him what he was reading, and he showed me the title of the book. He told me Ujjvala Nilamani, which you might know is a text of Rupa Goswami, which deals specifically with the Sringara Ras, or the dealings between Krishna and his female lovers in Vrindavan. I haven't read it. He was reading it. And I asked him which edition, and he wasn't sure, so he scrolled back to the front of the cover, and then I saw it was Ujjvala Nilamani Kiran, which is not exactly Ujjvala Nilamani, but it's a summary. I haven't read that either. It's very high topics. And I expressed surprise that he was reading it. And he said that his Guru Maharaj had recommended it. I didn't ask further whether he'd recommended it for everyone or for him personally. But I also said to him that I'm reading a book by your Guru Maharaj, or presented by your Guru Maharaj, which was just given to me by one of that devotee's god sisters. And she told me it's his latest book. And in that book, it's very small. It actually has a lot of space in it. Otherwise, it could just be a pamphlet. You see, it's not laid, it's deliberately not laid out economically to make it into a book. Otherwise, like I said, it could just be a few pages. There's Gurvashtaka, what is commonly called in ISKCON, rather strangely, the Samsara prayers, as if we're praying to be in Samsara. Then there is Srila Rupa Goswami's Radha Krishnaya Ashtakaliya Lila Smarana Mangala Stotra, and Srila Vishwanath Thakur Thakur's Sriman Mahaprabhu Ashtakaliya Lila Smarana Mangala Stotra, which by Rupa Goswami and Vishwanath Thakur Thakur, short, very concise summaries of the eightfold daily pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. So it's also very high subject matter for very high-level devotees, although there's nothing specifically what we might call erotic in there. And I said to him that you could read the whole book in 10 to 15 minutes, especially if you don't read the Sanskrit. I didn't mention that, but I said to him that it might take billions of lifetimes to understand, if at all. And that led me to think of something else which I had thought earlier in the day, as I was placing, when I go from place to place, I place various laminations around the place, if there are not other pictures of Radha and Krishna. This, as you can see, is a photograph of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in magisterial dress, not looking like a Vaishnava. What is written underneath, none of you can read it, even the Indians present, because most Indians don't read this script. Bengalis do. It's written in Bengali. When I was placing it, I just thought, if the owner of this house, we're the owners, Simon and Mary, are very pleasant, elderly English people, if they happened to come and ask what this meant, how could I explain it to them? Even if I can translate it very easily, I can say what the words mean if you translate it, but how to explain those concepts? It would be very, very difficult. Just like you've all heard E equals MC squared. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, which makes no sense to me, because how can you multiply mass? You could probably answer this, but you can multiply a figure which represents mass, but you can't, how do you multiply a pen by a table? You can't do it. You can multiply figures. So it's probably, it's got to be the most famous equation in the world. It's easy to say it. What does it mean? How many people in the world understand what it means? And to come to the level of understanding it, well, you don't have the opportunity to do it in many births, because you have to, you either get there or you don't in one lifetime, because, well, maybe Krishna will give you the chance to be a theoretical physicist in the next life also. These are quotes from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's profuse writing. You can see there's a line there. So this is a quote from one song, this is a quote from another song. Both the songs are from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bengali rendition of Rupa Goswami's Radhikashtakam, which is composed in Sanskrit, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur put it in Bengali with his own added realization and comments, as he did from many other Sanskrit writings. First one says, Amito Radhika Pokapati Shada. I am always on the side of Radhika, roughly translated. And the second one says, Haridayata Radha Charna Prayashi Bhakati Vinod Sri Godruma Bhashi. Exactly how to pronounce, to translate Radha Charan Prayas. It means Radha, who is the lover of Hari, I am aspiring to serve her lotus feet. And who says that? Bhaktivinoda, who is a resident of Godrum. Maybe some of you have a little idea about what we're talking about. If I had to explain to Simon and Mary, I don't think it'd be very, very hard even to begin to explain how a magistrate who is a man. Oh, by the way, no, it doesn't come in this writing, but elsewhere, he establishes his identity as a female or aspiring to be a female in the spiritual world. He is. Which is also very difficult to understand. And it would probably be misunderstood as someone aspiring for transgender identity, something like this. Although it's nothing to do with tampering with the physical organs of the body. Now, even those of you who are fairly new to this movement may have some idea about what that's all about. I didn't when I was new in this movement. None of us did, because we didn't have access to so many things. We had access to whatever books Srila Prabhupada had translated. And especially when Kushakrata Prabhu started profusely translating books from Sanskrit, much of this material became available, and devotees got some idea of what Srila Prabhupada was indicating in his writings about these very high topics, which are, they're indicated and they are discussed within Chaitanya Charitamrita also, that this is where we are supposed to be going. You could repeat what I can say also. Amito Radhika Pokapati Shada. You can say it. Maybe. Maybe you can't remember it so easily. I was just thinking of any. I was asking you about that. Okay, so all of you, please say after me, Mary Dost. Easy to say. Do you know what it means? Those of you who are from India, know what it means. It's very simple, ordinary, day-to-day language, which means, it means my friend, but specifically indicates it's a female friend. You can say it, but you don't understand what it means. I can explain it to you, and then you say, okay, Mary Dost. And then you might be, I might be walking with a, or you might be walking with a brahmachari, and someone comes up to you, Indian person says, who is that? And you'll want to impress them with your knowledge of Hindi, and you'll say, Mary Dost. And they'll laugh because you said it wrong. But wait a minute, it just says your friend, right? But Mary Dost means it's a female friend. And for a male friend, you have to say Mera Dost. Why is that? If you want to specify in English, you'll say my male friend or my female friend, or my boyfriend or my girlfriend. But that may also have other nuances in the understanding, just like just now in Russia. One female devotee spoke to me in English, which not many of the Russians speak English, and she was talking to me about her girlfriend. But in English, when we say girlfriend or boyfriend, it has the sexual implications or romantic implications, something like that. So there are so many subtleties in language, and I had difficulty understanding this or getting used to it when I was first learning Hindi, that how can you say Mary Dost? Because in English, if you're going to say female friend, you have to modify the word friend. But in Hindi, as with many other languages, you modify, I don't know the technical terms for it all, but if you say Mera, I was saying, how can I say Mary Dost? Because Mary means female, I'm not a female. But it's just the way the language works. And you were telling me it's around the other way in Gujarati. You happen to know that. But then I was thinking with Jayesh Girithai, it still wouldn't work because that would make him a female. Right? If he was trying to say Hindi and thinking in Gujarati, right? I asked him, whose car is this? Merry friend, he said. Yeah, you're mixing up Hindi and English like that. So anyway, what's the point I'm making here, or trying to make? That we can say these things, but understanding it is something else. And even if we understand the technicalities of the language, to understand even the nuances of the language, what to speak, the concepts and the actual. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I am always on the side of Radha, Radha Pakha, Radha Pakhapati, Pakshapati in Hindi, Bengali translation, Pakhapati. It doesn't just mean Radha, but there's a whole team there. It gives the idea of a whole team. And there are so many things there. That means he or she is with Radha against Krishna. And how do you explain that? That we're doing everything. Anyone who's against Krishna is a demon. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'm with Radha. That means, if you're talking about Pakshapat, means you're taking sides against another. And the other is Krishna and his friends. Right? So when you get liberated, you become an enemy of God. Yeah, that's also there for the impersonalists. They attain the same goal as those who are enemies of God, impersonal Brahma Jyoti. But this is some, it's very, very difficult to understand, inconceivable, and even so many highly respectable, highly advanced devotees of Krishna cannot understand or accept this at all. We're talking about different Vaishnava sampradayas. And here we are, and Prabhupada gave us Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if anyone asks you, what are you doing in this Hare Krishna movement? You say, well, I want to join Radha and go against God. I want to join the feminist party, which is against God, against all those male chauvinists. You could say that. That's one maybe modern angle of looking at it. How is it explainable? We can't understand it ourselves. But it's something to be felt. It's not only understanding, although we have the whole Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu giving an indication of what are these different relationships and how they form, but it's something to be experienced and it's something to be bestowed upon us by mercy. You can't storm the gates of heaven. It's not that by any means, even chanting Hare Krishna, it's not that you can just force your way in. I've chanted 64 rounds, followed Nirjal every time, Ekadashi, for 25 years. Now it's time for me to, it's about time they let me in the Rasa Leela. You can't say that. There's no way to force your way in. It's by mercy coming down. Where are we gonna go with that? How are we gonna get there? Personally, I'm not thinking about it very much, even though I have this. I'm not thinking about it very much because if and when Srila Prabhupada wants to bless me with that, then all well and good. In the meantime, there's a lot of work to be done down at the ground level. Bhaktivinoda Thakur came down to the ground level. Srila Prabhupada came down to the ground level and taught us all the basic things we need to know. And those basic, we talk about basic things, but they're not so basic. Just like we say, Bhagavad Gita is ABC, but it's not so easy to understand, even intellectually. And then we were just quoting that in our chit-chat before this formal talk started, that Arjuna, hearing Krishna's instructions about controlling the mind, said, Chanchalang hi manah Krishna pramati balavadhudham tasyaham nigraham manye vayoriva sudushkaram. The mind is very difficult to control, very unsteady and difficult to control. Chanchala, the word is given chanchala, which is also a word for lightning. The lightning is there 1 second. Have you seen? It'll be here for 1 second. And then it'll be over there, this streak. What do you call that? It's that line of lightning. There are two kinds. One is a flash and the other one is the bolt. Bolt lightning. 1 second. Thunderbolt is something else. I think that's the sound of the thunder. I don't know what it's like now, and there's no one here who's lived in England very long, but I used to see this line lightning. We used to see very little in England. We used to see flashes. It was very common. Anyway, you see it here, and then it just, a few seconds later, it's way over there, a few miles away. So the mind, one example is given, chanchal. It's here and there. Here and there, here and there. And the other one, because your name is Vayudas. Your name is Vayudas. And you were given the name Vayu in Soho. I was just about to say Berry Place, but in Soho Street Temple. And by the devotees before I initiated you. And due to your nature, which is like the wind, in many ways. So the mind is like that. It's blowing here and there. You can't control it. And we've given the examples. You can't control the wind. You bring the bring together Putin and Biden and whoever the Prime Minister of Britain is. We're not quite, well, it's still Boris Johnson at the moment, but he's going to get blown out. He's already blown everyone out, and he's blowing out of office. And Narendra Modi and whoever else there might be, Sheikh Hasina and whoever else is in charge of all these countries, and bring them all together and tell the wind, stop blowing. It's ridiculous. It's laughable. Like King Canute. Now you're in England, you should learn about King Canute. Have you ever heard of King Canute? Never heard of King Canute. 50% of your life is not wasted. But anyway, the story is he was a pre-William the Conqueror king of at least part of England. Ever heard of William the Conqueror? And yeah, if you live in England, you have to know. Most important date in history, 1066. So he was a Danish, I believe, king of England. And at one point, he went to the seashore as the waves were coming in, the tide was coming in, and ordered it to go back. And exactly why is not known. Some people say because he was so puffed up, thinking he's so much, so powerful, he can even order the sea to go back. But another kinder interpretation is that everyone was praising him so much for being so powerful, he just wanted to show them that he's not so powerful. So that is sensible. What to speak of controlling the wind, controlling the tide. We're talking about controlling nature. The scientists had this idea of controlling nature, and now nature is kicking back, right? Global warming is not something to be warned about anymore. Climate change is not something to be warned about anymore. It's right with us. So the idea they had of controlling nature, but we cannot even control our minds. It's very, very difficult. As Arjuna said, he was really depressed because he wanted to be he had this great idea that why should I fight? I should be a peaceful yogi. And then Krishna gave him a little idea what it means to be a yogi. And even those things about sitting in a holy place, sitting with staring at the tip of the nose, Arjuna, he could have done all of that, but controlling the mind, that's really tough. So Arjuna was despondent. That's one word Srila Prabhupada uses in regard to Arjuna at that point. But then Krishna reassured Arjuna at the end of the sixth chapter of Gita. Who can say that verse? Don't say it. Okay, yoginam api sarvesham. Anyone else? No. All right, you have to study. Yoginam api sarvesham. Madgate nantaratmana shadhavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. Krishna says, here the word api can be taken as either in sense of certainty or by the way. Yoginam apisa, among all the yogis, one who has taken me into the inner cause of his heart and worships me with faith is the greatest yogi. So he's assuring Arjuna. He'd already told Arjuna, I like you. I'm speaking this to you. I'm speaking this treatise on yoga to you. Why? Because you are my devotee and my friend. So he reassured Arjuna that it's okay. You don't have to do that kind of yoga. And he didn't want Arjuna to do that kind of yoga. He wanted Arjuna just to be Arjuna, as he always knew him and always was. He didn't want him to change. I like you as you are. You don't have to become a yogi. Just be who you are, which is Arjuna, my friend. But you're not just my friend. It's Mamanusmara Yudhyacha. You're my friend and you have to... Arjuna means you have to fight. There's no way out of it. You can get out of it if you like, but then you'll be finished. The greatest yogi is one who is always thinking of Krishna. But that also seems very difficult, doesn't it? Always thinking of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada gave us service to Krishna, which is non-different from Krishna, and gave us a very urgent mission, if we can understand the urgency of this mission, that every day people are going to hell without knowledge of Krishna. If they have a little knowledge of Krishna, that can save them, at least from falling down into the worst hellish condition, and give them a touch of Krishna consciousness. And that will help them in their onward life. Otherwise, life after life, people don't know Krishna. So have some contact with Krishna, and that will help. That will help you. People don't know, they cannot realize what's happening when they say Hare Krishna, or hear the devotees chanting Hare Krishna, or take a book about Krishna. So we have a mission, and it's the same mission that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he spoke and wrote about, and Srila Prabhupada spoke and wrote about. Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared to be a worldly man. He was career-oriented, you could say. He was already a teacher, and then in his spare time he was studying law. He took the law exams, became a lawyer, eventually got promoted up to the highest post he could possibly get in the British administration. And after he retired, one British high-ranking officer told him, apologized to him, that he said, "You could have been promoted much further. You're capable, but we couldn't allow him because you're Indian." So he didn't want the talk. So he was very, very capable materially, and appeared to be a responsible governmental officer. But his inner life is contemplation of his role as a little girl in the forests of Vrindavan, assisting the gopis in their service to Radha. Which seems to have nothing whatsoever to do with anything of this world, and that's right. It's nothing whatsoever to do with anything of this world. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. He came to give the holy name, and the holy name has the effects Chaito Darpana Marjanam, cleaning the heart. Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvarpanam, extinguishing the blazing fire of material existence, that's something else which is uncontrollable. Blazing fires, forest fires. So that can be extinguished by the rain of mercy, or the holy names. And then the auspicious waxing moon, which makes the lotus on the heart blossom. It's very ornamental language. Vidyavadhu jivanam, the life of the wife of transcendental knowledge. And that transcendental knowledge goes all the way from we are not the body up to this level of the gopis in Vrindavan. So I was surprised to see this devotee reading Ujjvala Nilamani Kiran. I'm surprised that his Guru Maharaj had told him to read that. But actually, We want that everyone should read this. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. At the same time, there's a question of qualification. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. We should be very careful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has revealed to us his inner life. Srila Prabhupada didn't. He gave some little indication in a poem which he wrote to Krishna, which he didn't propagate to his disciples. He wrote to Krishna just as he was coming to America, asking, or more or less twisting Krishna's arm, we could say, to bless him, to bless Srila Prabhupada for preaching in America. He didn't propagate that among his disciples, but when some of his disciples found that poem, written in Bengali, Srila Prabhupada was pleased and he had it put in the songbook. So he gets, otherwise, on the rare occasions when Srila Prabhupada was questioned about his inner life and his relationship with Krishna, he didn't like to speak about it. Even his, what is your relationship with your Guru Maharaj? He didn't want to speak about it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given many indications. He's also given so many songs which are relevant to our present, or at least the position of a neophyte devotee or anyone in this material world. He's given many such songs, how we should consider our position. Amar Jivan, Shada Kamarata, Nahika Punyara Lesh. My life, what is my life story? My life story is one that I've been always attached to sinful activities without even a trace of piety. He gives such descriptions. We find many of his songs like this. And at the same time calling out to Krishna to help him, Gopinath. I mean, Murhara Oti, I'm a big fool. Murhara Mangal, you came to this material world to benefit fools like me. So he's giving the clue that even if we are in a very bad situation, and being in this material world means being in a very bad situation, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give this, and we can aspire for this. He's revealed his inner life. On the one hand, he sings as if he is very sinful. On the other hand, he sings of his aspirations to join in the Vrindavan pastime. So that gives us some hope. We don't think for a moment that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is actually having sinful thoughts. But that is for us. If I am to speak of my inner, what is my inner life? Shall I tell you what do I think? I say it's lust, greed, anger, all very bad things there. But by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is some idea, some inclination of going to Vrindavan. Some hope. This prayer is, there is a well-known prayer among Gauriya Vaishnavas, which I often recite. Nama Shrishtam Manum Api Shachiputra Matra Sarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupari Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prabto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Sri Gurum Tamnatosmi. Raghunath Das Goswami says that by the vast mercy of my Guru Maharaj, that I have a hope, I have an aspiration, there's a possibility. Well, he says, first of all, by his mercy, I've got the holy name and the holy mantras. And in the case of Raghunath Das Goswami, Swarup, he got the association of Swarup Damodar. He got the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu via Swarup Damodar. He got the association of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and residence in Mathura, the cowherd land of Vrindavan. He got the opportunity. Specifically at Radha Kund, he was able to reside there. And then he says, Radhika Madhava, at least the hope of attaining to Radha and Madhava. So Raghunath Das, he actually got the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, living in Vrindavan. We may not directly get that, but we also can hope, we have at least the hope of attaining to that platform and the hope of attaining service to Radha and Krishna. So these are very high things. Yesterday I had cause to think of that. And at the same time, take stock of ourselves. As Arjuna said, it's not so easy to control the mind, but by engagement in Krishna's service, we have hope. At least we have a hope. Otherwise, people are hopeless in this material world. Or they have useless hopes. That's described also. Durashaya. They have a stockpile of useless, bad hopes. Coming to England, when I come to the West, I think it's 3 or 4 years since I came, so I always pick up new words, they're new words, but they're always new words. So one of the words I heard from you was actually a phrase, an alpha male. Right, so I looked it up on Wikipedia. I mean, it wasn't there, but I saw some. Maybe it was, but I saw it somewhere else, and I found out that being an alpha male is something to be aspired for. And I thought, well, thank you, Prabhupada. By the grace of Prabhupada, I don't want to be an alpha male. I don't want to be a beta male. I don't want to be a male at all. I don't want to be a female either. I don't want to be anything in this material world. But you can see people have aspirations. How you can be an alpha male, and what's the female equivalent? An alpha male, right? They want to be men and on top and in charge. I don't know. It's another word I saw was fraff, which I also looked up. But no one seems to know what it means, so I won't bother using that word. But here in the Western world, people are so, everything. I noticed that as a kid, but it's increased in people. Like everything is sex, right? It's just what gender you are and gender relationships and just so yeah, I have different aspirations. I don't aspire to be an alpha male. Probably a good job, because it's a bit late to start even thinking about that this time round. But you have to be careful, because if you aspire for it, you never know. There's always a future, right? Come out of the womb and have your chart made. Oh, he's going to be an alpha male. One of those psychopaths or whatever. Yeah, you have to be very careful with our desires. So should we aspire for residence in Vrindavan serving the gopis? Yes, of course we should. Well, not everyone. You may aspire for serving Lord Rama in Ayodhya, or Lord Rama in Dandakaranya. He also needs service there. In the forest, in Lanka, he also needs service there. Lakshmi Narayana, we may aspire for that. We may aspire for service to Rukmini Krishna in Dwaraka. That is our ultimate aspiration. Right now, we have work to do. It's not something that we can charge the doors down and kick down the doors like an alpha male, kick the door down. Someone doesn't open the door, so you just kick it down. But how do you do that? You got to have a really strong legs and jack boots to be able to do that, right? And that's probably only in the movies. I don't think you could actually kick, could you? I don't know. I'm not going to try it either. But anyway, you can't storm the gates of heaven. It's entrance by invitation only. And when you get the mercy. And in the meantime, we have plenty of work down here to do. There are plenty of conditioned souls who need to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the very rudimentary level. Which again, when we say the rudimentary level of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, it's much higher than most yogis can, or even great devotees in different sampradayas can even imagine to aspire for. So here we are, we're struggling to control our minds, and in the meantime we're engaged in the most elevated service. Within elevated service is serving the gopis in Vrindavan. That's true, but distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, going out on Harinam Sankirtan, it's way, 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 it's so far above. It's like E equals MC squared. The people, they can't understand what we're doing. If they ask us, what are we doing? Say, well, we say something. Nowadays we say yoga, peace. I came into Bhaktivedanta and it says right on the wall, spreading love and compassion, something like that. And it just sounds like any fluffy new age thing. So, yeah, yesterday at the beach at Hythe, a place I'd never heard of until yesterday morning when I heard that Kesha Bharati Maharaj is living there. So, I went there. Paramananda took me. I was fortunate enough to have his darshan. Then we went for a look at the sea, which was just a short walk away. And someone asked us, what is this? No, it was right here. It was right here. Someone else says, well, are you Buddhists? And we both, myself and Paramananda, said, no, Hare Krishna. But I think many times our devotees, they may not say with such conviction, Hare Krishna. You should say it. We are Hare Krishna people. Let them hear that. At least let them. They may not understand, but let them hear the holy name, Hare Krishna. Let them hear the holy names. Let us have faith in the holy names. Dino hino joto chilo, Hariname udharilo. By the holy names, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered so many, and by his mercy, we can do so also. And we can, our private business, we can cherish the possibility, the hope that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us of joining in what we sing about every morning. Nikunja yuno rati keli siddhai ya yali bhir yuktir apekshaniya. Tadrati daksha dati vallabhasya vandegaro shi charnarvindam. We offer prayers at the lotus feet of the spiritual master, who is very expert in assisting the gopis who are engaged in providing all desirable arrangements in there for the divine couple in Vrindavan. So we sing about it every morning. We have a hope. We have a hope like that. It's not forbidden by any means. We sing to Tulsi Devi every morning. Ene vedana dharo shakir anagato karo. Shiva adhikara diye karo nijadasi. It's a prayer for service to the gopis in Vrindavan. So we may cherish that and be realistic where we are now and what we need to do now in the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission now is spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. So both things may go on. We have to be realistic about our present position, and if and when that mercy descends upon it, upon us, then we can pursue that. But still, we have to not be callous to the condition of those who have not yet received this mercy. Hare Krishna. All right. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We probably all have rounds to chant. So, Hare Krishna. And there's one service which you all have to go for now, right? Taking prasadam. Important service. So, Hare Krishna to you all. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nithaya chunakam padayani patya kripa chakakur shatame dhara amra he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad gauranga chandra charne kurtana raga parivadatu jano yata. Krishna, Krishna.